Sam Altman says that there's going to be a one-person solopreneur billion-dollar company over the next few years. Now, ever since I heard him say this, it's been stuck in my head. Is it actually possible? Can you have one person come up with a billion-dollar company? I mean, it's the dream, but is it possible? Today's episode is about completely unpacking that, figuring out, is it worth it? How can you structure your company so that you can create a billion-dollar outcome? How do you can create AI agents to actually go and do that? Is this actually possible? And it's just my thinking about, you know, this whole thing. If I was going to start a billion-dollar solopreneur business, how would I structure my business today? And I'm going to explain everything from top to bottom. So this is a completely free episode. People charge thousands of dollars for this. This is free. Because I hope it inspires one of you to go and start something, hopefully a $1 billion solo business. The Startup Ideas Podcast. Sipping time, baby. The quote that Sam Altman says is, we're going to see 10-person companies with billion-dollar valuations pretty soon. In my little group chat with my tech CEO friends, there's this betting pool for the first year, there is a one-person billion-dollar company, which would have been unimaginable without AI, and now it will happen. That quote used to sound insane. Today, it sounds like it's possible. It sounds like it could be next quarter, and I'm going to explain why. When you think about a AI-first company versus a traditional company, and now we're creating AI-first companies, you basically have a founder that manages a bunch of agents that do tasks. Now, even in Sam Altman's statement, he mentions that we're going to see 10-person companies with billion-dollar valuations pretty soon. He doesn't say this, but I think we're going to see that sooner, and then we're going to see the one-person billion-dollar company. And the reason why he's saying that is because, you know, some of these could become people. Like, you might not want to hire a creator agent. You might want to hire a creator, or you might want to hire a person that manages some of these agents. And by the way, if you stick around to the end of this video, I'm going to be sharing exactly how I would structure a company. But yeah, AI first company. And then a traditional company is just people managing people. So you have an executive team, VP sales manages the sales team, the VP marketing manages the marketing team, the VP engineering manages the engineering team. So this is like a mindset shift when you're starting your business. Sam Altman actually says himself, he says the future of startups could just be one person and 10,000 GPUs. So what he means by that is, you know, there's a lot of compute that is going to be powering the outcomes of these agents. Now, the old way of building a company, a startup, is you'd come up with an idea, you'd write it on a napkin, then you'd go and fundraise. Maybe that's friends and family, maybe that's venture capital, you'd hire people, you'd build the product, you'd launch the product, hopefully it worked, hopefully people bought it, and then you'd scale it. And that's what you would do. And it would take time. And it was also, you know, not everyone had, you know, wealthy friends to hire to raise money from. And not everyone lived in San Francisco. So the new path is a bit different. And I haven't seen anyone, summarize this new path in this way. So let me know if this resonates with you all. So the first thing you do is you start with an audience. So you actually go and start a Twitter account, an Instagram, a TikTok, and then you vibe code something for that audience. You launch it. And then you build more of a community than an audience. So over time, as you're building an audience, you're trying to build this community, a private community, or, you know, IRL events, just hardcore people who love your brand and what you're doing. And then you use AI agents for automating a lot of the work, and then you go and repeat. So this is the old path. This is the new path. I'm going to give you an example of how you can do the new path. And I'm going to use myself as an example just because, it's the easiest example to give. I'm just talking about myself here. So, before I started, you know, a lot of you all know ideabrowser.com, which is, I give this, you know, free startup idea of the day, on this platform. But a lot of people don't know that it started off by me just tweeting startup ideas. So if you think about my account, I would just tweet about startup ideas. people started, I noticed that people like them. So I built a, you know, I vibe coded using Cursor mostly, this product called ideabrowser.com. I also built a community for it called Startup Empire, which is a private community. And now I've gone and automated a lot of this here. Now there is humans in the loop. The Idea Browser team is three people, including myself. So it's not a one person billion dollar company, but it just goes to show you that if you have an idea for something, just start a X account or an Instagram account. And then from there, you can learn about what people like, learn about the different formats that work. You know, it took me a while to get to this format. And then you can, you know, build that community and start automating it over time. Sam Altman, the co-founder of OpenAI, just said that it is the era of the idea guy, and he is not wrong. I think that right now is an incredible time to be building a startup. And if you listen to this podcast, chances are you think so too. Now, I think that you can look at trends to basically figure out what are the startup ideas you should be building. So that's exactly why I built ideabrowser.com. Every single day, you're going to get a free startup idea in your inbox, and it's all backed by high quality data trends. How we do it, people always ask. We use AI agents to go and search, what are people looking for and what are they screaming for in terms of products that you should be building? And then we hand it on a, you know, silver platter for you to go check out. We do have a few paid plans that, you know, take it to the next level, give you more ideas, give you more AI agents and more, almost like a ChatGPT for ideas with it. But you can start for free, ideabrowser.com. And if you're listening to this, I highly recommend it. So that's the new path. I think another interesting thing about this era that we're in is, and I want to mention this, every new era that we've been in, 1990s with the computer revolution, 2000s cloud revolution, mobile and SaaS revolution in the 2010s, brought it more leverage. So what's happened is it's just been quicker to launch things, and you can get to bigger outcomes through with the smaller teams. So that's just something to know about this era that we're in. And I, you know, we should also talk about like why this is happening. Like, why is it actually possible for you to go and start a business that could potentially be $1 billion? And I narrowed it down to these five mega trends. So one is that, you know, for the first time ever, services are becoming software. It used to be software as a service, SaaS. But now with AI agents actually having the ability to fulfill the service. So let's say instead of hiring a social media manager, you're hiring an AI agent that does the social media managing. Instead of hiring a copywriter, you're hiring a copywriter AI agent that goes and fulfills it. And that's the business, right? You, the person listening to this, could go and create that as an AI agent and then charge hundreds of dollars or tens of dollars a month for it. So this is completely unlocked a whole new set of businesses. Second is that there's instant distribution. So you can go and, you know, start an X account or an Instagram, build followings, or if you don't want to do that and that's not your style, you can also just partner with existing creators and get instant distribution. We're also, you know, this era we're in, we're built on top of the shoulders of giants. So you can go and integrate with OpenAI. You can go and start a Shopify. These tools exist. You can go and use Supabase. You can go and use Netlify. You can go and use all these different tools. And of course, you have to pay to use these tools. But, you know, you're accessing billions of dollars of R&D with a flick of a button. I also think that there's this new trust in small brands. You know, there's this new trend, you know, shop local, right? Like, it's almost like people want indie hackers and indie startups to win. I think that's a big reason why Peter Levels and people like him, people are, you know, they want to buy his products and services because they feel like, you know, I'd rather buy it from him than buy it from Mark Zuckerberg or whoever. And then the last thing is that there's these high precision ad platforms for the first time ever. And it's not just Meta, it's, you know, Google, it's TikTok, you know, X is starting to get quite good at it. So, you know, you could, with the right offer, you can access people and they'll buy your service. And then you, as you know, the person who wants to go and create a billion-dollar one-person business, your core skills are going to be code leverage, audience leverage, and capital leverage. So I think it was Naval who talked about this. So you know, there's only three ways in this world where you can get leverage. In this world, you can get leverage is through code and through audience and through capital. So you are trying to refine these things as much as possible. Of course, you might not be the best developer, but you want to understand it, and you want to, you know, surround yourself with the right, products and agents that go and help create the best code. You might want to get really good at audience building and thinking about what sort of formats are working, et cetera, et cetera. And then capital, as you know, is something that you build up over time. So you might be thinking, okay, great. I kind of buy that there might be this opportunity to build a billion-dollar one-person business, but how do I actually get started? And you know, if I were just getting started, this is what I would do. I would start as a freelancer in something. So I'd be like, maybe I'm a visual designer. I'm a product designer. I design apps, mobile apps, let's say. And then I create a productized service around it. And I say, you know, for $5,000, I will design your mobile app, 5 screens or less. And then you get an idea for a micro SaaS. And I did a whole episode around micro SaaS and how to start one. I can link it in the description if you're interested in that. But it's basically this idea: what is the one feature that you can create that you can sell to people that's a software? And then you have AI agents fulfill the actual outcome. And that's the way that, you know, you progress through your solopreneur journey. And while you're doing it, you're building an audience. So you're thinking about how I could, you know, what niche you want to be, what micro niche you want to be. And you're getting better at it. You're getting more followers. Every single day you're committing to actually posting. And that could be, you know, you could have AI agents help you in that, but you're committing to the game of building an audience. And, you know, I put this over here. I saw this really good, you know, 100 proven hooks. I think the Twitter account it came from is a guy named Murata. And he just like summarized like the 100 just hooks that work, like POV, you just found the app that replaced your therapist, or this is why your screen time is actually 11 hours, or your parents don't know about this money hack. So, you know, while you're getting really good at your fulfillment, you have to get really good at your audience development too. Like you have to live and breathe this. And I think that's a big part of what will make a successful $1 billion business. So if you want to think about your org chart a little bit, like this is potentially what it could be. So you're over here, you're the solo founder, and then you have these LLMs that basically manage these agents. So you have engineering agents, which is code generation, testing, QA, DevOps, deploying. You have design agents, UI, UX creation, brand assets. You have marketing agents, which are content creation, SEO, SEM, social media. You have sales agents, which are lead qualifications, outreach, demo booking. You have support agents, which is ticket triage, documentation, and then you have data analyst agents. So it's this whole idea around you're creating this hierarchy and you're going to have a bunch of agents fulfill it. And like I said in the beginning, you might have people do some of this in the beginning. Like UI, UX, you might outsource to a person. You might outsource this to a small design agency. But over time, the idea is to basically have this all fulfilled by super intelligence. So that way you can go be on your beach and, you know, things are just working and you don't have to deal with people. And then the way this works, like actually tangibly, like you can think of like real-time agent activity, right? So imagine you have on your team, you have a researcher, a creator, an analyst, an operator, and strategist. So basically, the researcher is feeding data, the creator is generating content, the analyst is processing metrics, the operator is handling tasks, the strategist is making decisions, that goes into a central database. And you basically have this productivity gain that you gain from having these agents work for you 24/7. And this is what Sam was basically talking about, I think. You know, I can't read his mind, but I think that he's thinking about like there is this world where you're going to have agents fulfilling these tasks. Now, When I was thinking about this, I was like, there's obviously a world where this goes, you know, horribly wrong. And, I wanted to just make mention that this is how it could go wrong, right? So like, you can create something and then you over automate something and it loses the human touch, and then your business goes down. Like, you know, it might cap out at 100K or 300K or something, and then it'll just not work, right? So, you know, you could have bad documentation, your agents could produce garbage. You can have bad quality control, and then you have mistakes. You don't have a customer contact, and then you lose connection. But I think that, you know, the person that's going to end up creating this billion-dollar one-person company is just going to, like, all of these things are going to be extremely dialed. All the rules are going to be dialed. All the references are going to be completely dialed. The output of all this is going to be as good, if not better, than a human being. And as the models get better over time, that'll be easier. So now you have to put a lot more work into actually feeding context, continuously giving these rules. But I think over time, they'll just get better, just like human beings. You know, if you have a smart person on your team, let's say in social media, even if they join and they only have 1 year of experience, but after year two and three, and they see what works, and the metrics are being fed into them, and they understand feedback loops, and their hard workings, and their goals, you know, they've got goals. Then over time, you know, some of my best employees have been younger people who've just learned really quickly. So I think that's just something to call out. The other thing I wanted to call out, I saw this tweet today. That is this guy named Mark Liu. He's a solopreneur, and he says, "How long did it take my little SaaS to grow? 1K MRR, 2K MRR, 3, 4. So 1K took 4 months, 2K took 3 months, 3K took 2 months, and 4K took 1 month." And this guy has like an audience of like hundreds of thousands or hundred. Yeah, I think it's hundreds of thousands. So it takes time, and it's not easy. I don't want to sugarcoat it. Like, it's not easy. It takes time. So I do think that whoever is going to come up with this billion-dollar, you know, one-person thing, it might look something like this. Like, the curve might be slow and then, you know, suddenly all at once. I put together a 2x2 matrix to just show how, like, where the opportunity is to create agents that do work for people that you can charge money for. So on the y-axis, you have the value. So, like, obviously, you want as much value as possible. And on the x-axis is you want repetition. You want as much repetition as possible. So if you're selling social media management as an agent, you want the customer that you're selling to want to do that multiple times a day. Because if it's high repetition and it's high value, then that's where the gold mine is. So this is where, you know, you want to, this is kind of the sweet spot. You want to be here. And you obviously don't want to be here. You don't want to have something that's low value and not really repetitive, because then it'll be hard to sell. When you're coming up with ideas for things, think about it like that. And then, by the way, I saw this episode, I thought it was a good episode, around on Lenny's podcast, around choosing the right AI pricing archetype. I also think that there's, thinking about how to actually price your AI agent business, one-person business. Is it going to be usage-based pricing? So what does that mean? Pay for what you consume. Is it going to be outcome-based pricing? You know, the win-win model, so per outcome. So for example, Finn, I think, is like a app from Intercom. And I'm pretty sure that it's a customer support agent that, you know, you implement on your website. And if it works, like, there's a resolution that happens with a customer, you get charged some amount of money. Seat-based, which is Slack, Figma, Grammarly. I think this is going to be less and less common. I think the more interesting ones are going to be something like usage-based and outcome-based. Like, there's an opportunity to, if you're building your one-person billion-dollar company, to do something more like usage-based and outcome-based, because this is a new type of model that you can own, you could have done it before without AI, but it's way easier to do now. Or you can think about a hybrid pricing model, so the base fee and consumption. So as you're thinking about pricing, this is the way to think about it. I tend to think that the usage-based pricing and outcome-based pricing is the most fastest way to a billion. There's two more things I want to cover. Not every business can be built like a one-person billion-dollar founder business. So let's talk about the ones I can and the ones I can't. So if it's a digital product, yes, it can. If it's not a digital product, then you're going to need human labor. So obviously, it's not going to be a one-person business. If it's B2B SaaS or a consumer app, like a mobile app, yes, it could be a billion-dollar business. But if it's a complex B2B app or B2B SaaS, you're going to need a sales team. So you probably don't want to do that. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about like a healthcare company, a defense company, education, selling into the Fortune 500, you do need sales teams. Can AI handle the core value? If there's some, we're at the stage right now that might not be possible for everything. So thinking about the business that you're going to start, think about the ones that it's actually possible today. For example, social media management, you can actually get it done, that it researches, it manages it, and it's able to create the content in a pretty good way that it adds value. So if not, you're going to need human specialists, and then you can't be a one-person business. Regulatory requirements. If there's heavy regulatory requirements, you're going to need compliance. I'm talking fintech. I'm talking healthcare. But if there's light or none, you're Gucci. And then network effects. You're going to want to start a one-person business with network effects. If you don't think that it's possible that there's network effects, it's going to be possible, but I think it's going to just be extremely hard. If you do have network effects in some capacity, I think it'll be a lot easier. To conclude, is the $1 billion solo founder possible? Here's where I netted out on it. Technically, yes. AI provides a leverage. So if you have the right product, the right marketing, the right timing, the right person, the first solo unicorn is probably coming in 2026 to 2028. I think the 10-person, $1 billion company is probably coming, sooner than that. It's probably being built right now. So yes, it's possible. Practically, though, it does require these perfect conditions. And I think that in the future, as AI keeps improving, it'll just be easier to actually do this. So I think it's totally possible. I think right now it's quite extremely, extremely, extremely rare. But the fact that it's even possible is absolutely cool. And it fires me up. I mean, this has never been possible in history that you've been able to go and actually potentially start a one-person business that is worth $1 billion. So for all of you listen who made it to the end, let me know if this, these little education episodes are interesting to you, like this one or the MicroSaaS episode. My goal is to teach you about a particular topic that I'm thinking about in real time. And I can't wait to see the either one-person billion-dollar company that you create or the $10 billion company you create. I'll keep sharing these videos and episodes for free so that you can enjoy them, create something cool. And if you need a startup idea, you know where to find them, ideabrowser.com, or continue listening to this podcast. The Startup Ideas Podcast, and I will see you in the YouTube comments. I read every single one. And please let me know what you would like me to cover next. MicroSaaS was the first one in this educational style. This time it's the one-person billion-dollar company. What would you like next? Because I want to cover the things that you care about and that you're trying to learn as fast as possible. Happy building and have a creative day.